Psalm 23, as we continue looking at different psalms. So far, they've all been psalms of David. And Psalm 23, as you're familiar with, is no exception to that. Psalm 23 is one of the most beloved of all the psalms, and probably the most well-known of all the psalms. It's the psalm that is read, referenced, probably printed on the back of most funeral programs, though it really says little about death and a lot about life. It's commonly used to comfort both Christians and non-Christians, and there's great truth in that because there's great words of comfort here. But as we're going to see in Psalm 23, we'll quickly realize that the specific context here is uniquely for the believer. It is uniquely for the believer. We often remember David as the king of Israel or as the great warrior for Israel, but we have sometimes forgotten his humble beginnings as a shepherd in the fields surrounding Bethlehem. We forget that he knew the ins and outs of shepherding. He knew both the challenges and the rewards. He knew about the beautiful but cold nights under the stars. He knew about the solitude, the times when he could sit and think and even compose his psalms, but also the loneliness of being out there by himself. Sadly, I think we've been poorly served by many artists who render shepherds as these weak and meek guys, maybe young boys or older men, but they're weak and they're meek. David was anything but that. David, as you'll remember from Scripture, he killed both a lion and a bear without a gun. Right? A lion and a bear without a gun. I would not get anywhere close to a lion or a bear without a gun in my hand. And he did both. Imagine, if you will, walking through David's trophy room, if David has one. Walking through there, and he says, on the left here is a lion and a bear. And each of them had one of my sheep in their mouth, and they were running away. And I chased them down. And I grabbed him by their beard, by the jaw, and I threw him to the ground, and I killed him. And, oh, on the right-hand side is the head of a giant who I hit with a slingshot with a stone, and he fell to the ground, and so I took his own sword and I cut his head off. By the way, let's move to the next room where you will hear me recite some poetry and play my harp. What kind of a guy is this, right? This is amazing. But really, think about it. That is exactly who our Lord is. He is mighty, he is powerful, and yet he is gentle and he is tender. What a beautiful picture of our Lord. Last week we looked at Psalm 22, and in Psalm 22 we saw Christ is our substitute. And Jesus, in speaking about himself in John chapter 10, he picks up on David's metaphor from Psalm 23, and he says these words that Sherry and Mallory sang for us last Sunday, "I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep." So we see, putting this together, we see that the good shepherd is not the shepherd of everyone. The good shepherd is the shepherd of his own sheep. In Scripture, you see that unbelievers are referred to as goats or even wolves in sheep's clothing. They have no relationship with the shepherd. So Psalm 23 is uniquely the believer's psalm, and it's meant to give us a great confidence in our great shepherd, Jesus Christ, as well as great comfort in every season of our life. So let me read once again. We've read it together, but there is no harm in repeating the Word of God. So let me read for us Psalm 23 as you follow along. But I want to emphasize in here three words that you'll notice: my, me, and I, because I want us to see that this is an intensely personal psalm. So listen as I read. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's just pause and pray as we come to this psalm. Oh Lord, we thank you that you are our great shepherd. We thank you for these words that were penned by David so many thousands of years ago, and you have preserved so that today in 2019 in Kadoka, South Dakota, we can hear from you and we can learn from your word. Oh, may the truth of your word ring in our hearts and in our ears today, and may it ring in our hearts throughout this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Well, we have a challenge before us this morning, and the challenge is this, that you and I are very familiar with Psalm 23. That's a real problem, because when you're real familiar with something, you often gloss over the intricate details of whatever that is. And that's exactly what we do with Psalm 23. We just read through it like, oh yeah, I've heard that 1,000 times. So we have a problem, and we need to overcome that by looking deeply into the Word. I just confess to you, I've been a Christian since I was 10 years old. I'm 49 years old, so 39 years of my life I've been a Christian. I was raised in a Christian home. I've been to seminary now, and I have studied the Word of God in many different ways, many different parts. But I never noticed, honestly, until studying this week in Psalm 23, that there is not just one metaphor in Psalm 23, but there are two. And so you'll see it in your bulletin there, in the outline, that there is both a metaphor of the shepherd as well as a metaphor of the host of a great banquet. And so we're going to look at those two things together, the shepherd and the host. First of all, the metaphor that David uses of our Lord being a shepherd, it's a wonderful picture, again, because it shows his strength as well as his tenderness. But though it puts him in a good light, if he's the shepherd, that means we are the sheep. And I don't need to tell you that sheep are not the smartest animals on the planet. Nor are they very good at defending themselves. They need one to defend them. And so, though this magnifies the shepherd, it really puts us in our rightful place of humility and dependence upon our great shepherd. So let's look first at our great shepherd as my provider. The first word here in our English, of course, it's the word the, but in Hebrew, it's the word Lord, and we've talked about this in weeks past, but Lord, when it's in English and it's in all caps like that, it is the word for God, Yahweh. Yahweh. And Yahweh is the covenant name for God, the name that he gave himself even before Moses, saying, I am that I am. So David's main point is not, look at all the good things that we get as sheep. The main point is, look at the shepherd. Look at the shepherd. He's pointing to God as our shepherd, Yahweh as the covenant-keeping God who has always kept his promises. He keeps his promises that he made to Abraham, that he made to Moses, and now to David. And how often you and I need to be reminded of that, don't we? We need to be reminded that God keeps his promises. How quickly we forget that God keeps his promises. But he is faithful, and he always does what he says he will do. And that's why David says in the next phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd." My shepherd. David has a special relationship with the shepherd. Every sheep has a special relationship with the shepherd. Oh yes, he's the shepherd of the entire flock, right? And in David's context, that would be the chosen people of Israel. In our context, it would be us, the body of Christ, the chosen ones who have come to faith in Christ. But not only is he the shepherd of the entire flock, but he is also my shepherd. He is the shepherd of every individual sheep. And you know this well. In your herds, you take care of the entire herd, but you also have to pay special attention to some who need special attention. You might have to go out in the field and bring one in that is hurt or is sick, and you attend to each individual need as well as to the entire herd. This is our good shepherd. That's why David could say, "He is my shepherd." And as we think about this great shepherd, he is the great shepherd of our soul. He alone can perfectly care for your soul and for my soul. He can perfectly meet those needs. And this is the idea behind the next phrase in verse 1, "I shall not want." I shall not want. This is an overarching statement that God provides my needs. And then we start to see there's four more phrases that he breaks it down a little more specifically. So let's look at those. First of all, it says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." He makes me lie down in green pastures. This is spiritual nourishment. This is the food that we need for our souls. This comes in many different forms. Many different forms. It might come in the form of your personal time of reading the Word of God. It might come, and hopefully it's a combination of all of these, on a Sunday morning hearing the sermon. Or maybe you've decided to download some sermons on your iPod or on your phone, and you say, "I'm going to listen to these while I'm driving in my car, while I'm out working in the fields, whatever." Maybe it's scripture memory, so that you can hide God's word in your heart that you might not sin against him. Maybe it is a simple, kind, and gentle rebuke from a brother or sister in Christ that says, "Hey, Jesse, come back over here to the path. Come back over here to the way that God has told us to go." Maybe it's the joy of Christian fellowship, the joy of being together. All of those are ways that the Lord feeds our souls, and we need a combination of all of those. The next phrase is, "He leads me beside still waters," and some commentators make a big deal about the distinction between those two. I think it's just a parallel statement. He leads me to the green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. It's a summary statement of he is providing for all my spiritual needs. My spiritual food, my spiritual drink, so to speak. But then notice, he restores my soul. He restores my soul. This is an indicator that this passage has a greater concern for our soul than it does for our physical needs. Oh, there's care for our physical needs that our Lord takes care of. But this passage in particular is regarding our souls. And here the Good Shepherd restores, or literally, this reads, "He brings back my soul." And this is in the imperfect tense, meaning it's a continual action. It happens again and again and again. Paul quotes the Old Testament in Romans, and he says, all we like sheep have gone astray. It's the simple fact of sheep that sheep wander. Sheep go astray. The hymn writer picked up on this, and he penned these words, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. That's us. We're prone to wander here and there, and our good shepherd brings us back. But let me ask this question. Just because the sheep wandered, does he cease to be a sheep? The answer is a resounding no. No, he doesn't cease to be a sheep. The loving shepherd will not let him wander long, lest he be killed and eaten by some wild beasts. But he brings him back to the sheepfold, and he puts him on the right path. So let's look at that path. That's the next phrase there. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. And this is taken one of two ways. Some commentators say that this is right paths, as in the path or the direction that the shepherd wants them to go. Others say it's a word referring to morals and ethics and what is good. And I would say yes and amen to both. Right? It's the path that God wants us to be on, and the path that God wants us to be on is the path of righteousness. And if we wander off, whether unconsciously or consciously, the Good Shepherd brings us back. So that is our Good Shepherd as our provider, but let's look at him as our protector. Look at the next phrase there in verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This is a place of great danger, great danger. In the Middle East, there are these deep valleys with big cliffs on either side. They call them wadis, where the water will run, and it's a shadowy place, even so shadowy that it's almost dark. And this is a place where robbers and thieves would hide out, and it would be a great place to catch unwary travelers, as well as shepherds that are leading their sheep through there. But why would a shepherd be leading his sheep through there? Well, because in that hot Middle Eastern wilderness, where else would the grass grow but in that shadowy area where the water runs? And so the shepherd, in his wisdom and in his care for the sheep, leads his sheep into a dangerous place, so to speak, but it's the place where there's food and provision for his sheep. But notice what the helpless sheep says in this dangerous place. He says, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. All of us who are Christians are living in a world that is a place of danger, where thieves and robbers, so to speak, would like to steal our faith and lead us away from the flock of God. But if we are truly sheep under God's care, the Good Shepherd cares for us, and we can confidently say, I will fear no evil. Why? Why can we say that? Because of this, the next phrase here, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, our confidence, our strength, comes from the presence of the Lord. And I would say specifically for us as New Testament believers, the Holy Spirit that has been given to us as believers, who indwells every true believer. And so the shepherd's calming presence is there, but it's combined with his rod and his staff. And so what is the rod? The rod is simply a club. A club that he carries along that's carryable, so it's not so heavy that he can't carry it, but he carries it with him to literally beat off any thieves or robbers or bears or lions that would come to steal his sheep. So he beats it off. And then the staff, and we've all seen pictures of the staff, right? A long pole, so to speak, with a crook at the end, with a hook at the end of it. And with that, the shepherd would prod his sheep. He would keep them going in the same direction, and he would gently nudge them to remind them of his presence. But if one got off of the path, he would use the crook end to grab it by the neck and to pull it back onto the path. Do you see how the Lord does both of those things in our life? He gently prods us and reminds us of his presence. But sometimes we need to be grabbed by the scruff of the neck and said and told, come back on the path. This is where you belong. The Lord uses both of those. And so I just want to encourage us this morning. Be comforted, believer, by the Lord's presence. Be comforted by knowing that the Lord beat evil off on the cross, and he continues to beat evil off in our lives. Know that he uses his staff to guide us, and he uses his staff to pull us back on the path. So that is our shepherd. But the second part of this is our host. Our host. We are the honored guest at a banquet. And we are blessed to sit as the guest of honor at Yahweh's banqueting table. So notice this bringing together of the components of these two metaphors. Just as the sheep benefits from the shepherd's provision and protection, the guest of honor does not offend the host by trying to prepare his own table. Right? You don't go to a banquet with silverware in your back pocket and a set of plates in your hands. You go to a banquet knowing that that is all going to be on the table, and you just show up. The same is true of our Lord. He has prepared it all, and it's to us to show up. Notice this beautiful extravagance that we see here. Whereas in the first metaphor, we see that the good shepherd supplies the needs of the sheep, the second metaphor expands this beyond needs to the point of extravagance. Notice this word, anoint. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Now, anointing is not just a few drops on the forehead. Anointing is a pouring out of the oil all over the head. Again, why is that necessary? Because in that Middle Eastern climate, they'd be walking through a hot, dry desert on a regular basis, and their face would get chapped, their lips would get cracked, and so you'd go into a banquet, and a good host would have a jar of oil, and he would pour that all over your head to soothe and relieve you and to say, I love you and welcome into my banquet. And that's what our Lord does, right? He refreshes us as we walk through this world, and as we get hurt through this world, he refreshes us with his loving care, with his Spirit. Similarly, we have an overflowing cup. He says, my cup overflows. Same idea again. You're walking through a hot desert. You're thirsty. You sit down at the banquet, and you don't just have a sip of water, but you have enough water to meet your deepest thirst. To meet your deepest thirst. Once again, this is our provider, our God. This is the extravagant blessings that the believer enjoys. It's the cleansing of all our sin. Our sin past, our sin present, and our sin future. All of our sin is covered. The Lord provides it all. I simply show up at the feast of forgiveness. What a beautiful picture of our Lord as the host. But let's see him also as our protector. Our protector. At the very end in verse 6, he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Though used here in the context of a host, this kind of harkens back again to the shepherd's staff, kind of this two-pronged approach, so to speak, that the Lord guides us, right? We could see his goodness being the end of the shepherd's staff that is prodding us, that is encouraging us, that is leading us. And then we can see his mercy as the hook at the other end that is pulling us back in. And we all need both. We all need both. We need the good reminders of the Lord, and we need the mercy of the Lord when we fall away. And then finally, look at this word follow. Follow is actually better translated pursue. Pursue. And we might think of, in this context, the enemies that are pursuing after the shepherd and his sheep, or even coming against this host, but there's safety there with the host. And so we see here, there are two benefits that are pursuing us as a Christian, goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy that are pursuing us all the days of our life, that are keeping us from temporal and eternal danger all the days of our life. This is the work of God in our lives that causes us to persevere in the faith. It causes us to persevere in the faith. How long? To the end of our lives, all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life. What a good, comforting word from our Lord. And then he finishes in such a grand way. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is a place where no longer are there enemies. No longer are there ravaging beasts that are coming against him. But this is a place of safety. This is the place that we call heaven. That eternal resting place for true believers, for those that are truly shepherds of the great sheep, those who are the guests at this special banquet put on by our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, are you one of those sheep? Are you sitting at the table of our Lord? If you are, then you can be assured that you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you're not, quite honestly, you're not even a sheep, right? You're a goat, or you're a wolf in sheep's clothing. And the call is to repent and come to Christ today and put your trust in him. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this psalm. Thank you for speaking through David to us today. Oh Lord, the great shepherd of our souls, may you guide and direct us. Oh, we acknowledge that we as your sheep wander. We acknowledge that we need guidance. We acknowledge that we need help. We are helpless in every way, and we need you every hour. And so we pray that each day our trust would be in you. It would not be in ourself. It would not be in the things of this world, but that our trust would be in you. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.